Everybody, good morning. Janelle, I don't know where you are, but I'm glad that a news that was recorded by you finally got played, and they tried to play it a lot of times, so I'm proud of that. A lot of you probably don't know the backstory, but Janelle, we had this scenario. It was once we moved over here, and we're still, by the way, working through all kinds of, we're just ironing out wrinkles, okay? We're figuring stuff out. The team blows my mind at their ability to pivot and to adjust, and I mean, they extinguish flames you never see. You don't even smell smoke, you know, but they're like hair is on fire. And so there was a particular Sunday where we had recorded news, and there was a problem with the recording, and then Janelle came in and did all the extra effort and re-recorded that news, and then we had a technical fail on Sunday, and it never got played, and so they were trying hard to get her news played today, but I'm so glad that you're here and that everything works out. Listen, these are the things that happen in change, right? We're sorting through some adjustments, we're making some changes, and we're finding some technical difficulties and just figuring out how to overcome all that stuff. So thank you for being gracious and patient and coming back and helping us to figure out how to make this possible so we can serve people with the mission of our church. Amen. So thank you. Give it up for the person next to you because they're here and they're helping. So thank you so much. How well can you hear me? Like in the very back. It doesn't matter up here. How well can you hear me good? Will you turn me down then just a little bit? Like I'm annoying myself and I feel bad for everyone in the room right now. I appreciate that. But hey, I want to bring a message that let me say it like this. I feel like God changed the play this week. I had already written today's message. It was totally different. In fact, I'm going to just deliver that message next Sunday because I still feel like it's very important, very pertinent. But I'd already written it. And during this week, God just began to do this work inside of my heart. And I just wrote something new and prepared it for today. So if you're here today, and not to say that this isn't true each time that you're in church, because I think the Holy Spirit knows how to communicate to his people, but I just feel like that there is emphasis, maybe, from God on this message today. And so here's what this is going to look like. I actually think that today's message is a little bit more of like a leadership conversation. I actually think this is more of a message that I would prefer to communicate just like to my serve team, the people that actually make a difference here at our church. And I know people make differences everywhere, so that's not to discredit you, right, if that's not you. But for our team that makes a difference here at the church, setting up and taking down and serving and preparing and all the things that they do, like this is a message I feel like that is really for them. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to them, and I hope it helps you too. Okay, is that fair? And so I'm going to invite you behind the curtain. I'm going to talk to all of you like you're a part of our serve team, and I'm going to communicate what I think God's put in my heart for us in this season, like particularly this day of our church. And so I'll start like this, that recently I watched this Netflix special, and it was about mountain climbing, and it was riveting. And I wish for the life of me I could remember who said you should watch it, because I cannot remember who said watch it, but I did. And it was amazing, and it was powerful, and it motivated and inspired me because it's a true story. And I mean, it's just, anyway, I'm not going to get lost in all that for the sake of time, but it was like gripping for me. And I learned some things. I learned that I'm never going to climb real tall mountains. I would love to hike a hill and hunt an elk. That would be awesome. I would love to hike the hills and pack out like a blacktail or something like that, a mule deer. Like that would be pretty special. But I don't want to just climb in the snow to some incredible peak to look at clouds. Like it's not in me, but the motivation that was in this team of people that did it was remarkable for me. And I learned some things. And here's what I've learned. I learned that when you climb to these incredible peaks, and I'm talking about these mountains that are just like insanely high, like beyond 8,000 meters, which is 5 miles straight up. When you go to that kind of a summit, it has a real effect on your body. It takes like everything you've got, everything you think you have, and more to do it. The dangers are unbelievable. The risk of so many variable things that could go wrong, You might not be able to breathe and might need the assistance of oxygen. You could get up that high and get this thing they call haze, where you just totally discombobulate and you just lose functionality and people die as a result of that. You can get caught up in an avalanche. You can fall off ledges. I mean, there are so many things that can go wrong. But then, of course, there's the exhilaration, I would imagine, of getting to the summit and being like, we did it, you know, or whatever. Like, how you must feel would be rather remarkable. But in watching this documentary, I was interested most in, first of all, I mean, just to let you inside of my head, like, I was so bought in to the mental discipline that it takes to get there. And then the physical, like, I don't know, just that was the whole thing. That was just personally for me. But I was really intrigued at the effect that climbing that kind of a hill takes, having that kind of a moment, like the impact, the result of that, and what you have to do to care for yourself coming off that peak. And when I was watching this, I was thinking of you. You. And I was thinking to myself, this is what our church has just done. Our church has just climbed to an elevation we've never climbed to before. We went to another peak. And I thought about it that way because of this, because what we just did to move into St. Augustine High School and expand into two locations and to initiate a transportation team and to all the things that took place to actually get us here. And can I just rant for a second? Is that okay? Do I have anyone's permission to rant? I'm going to climb up on a soapbox for just a second. I'm going to climb right back down, okay? But I'm just gonna pull the curtain back and talk like we're team. And here's what I'm gonna say: it's like some of you have no clue the amount of prayer, conversation, meetings, the extra hours, the extra days, the troubleshooting, the logistics, the pioneering, the things that this team has put together and pulled off. Like, we climbed to a new peak, and then you're mad because it's too loud and you don't come back. That's my soapbox. Meanwhile, we're like, well, like, no, we know too. Like, a couple of weeks ago, I thought my ears were going to bleed. It was too loud. It was too loud. And like, we know that it's too loud. And I know that you think it's like, well, just turn it down. It isn't that easy. And if it was that easy, we would just do that. But it's not that easy. It's so complicated. You have no idea. It's insane. Okay? And so for week after week after week, I'm still on my box. like a group of volunteer people are like pouring it out, trying to serve you. Like, that's exactly what's going on. And the problem with the lights is it's easy to throw rocks at those people. All right? I'm going to get down now. Okay? And so what I know is I know the prices that have been paid. I've seen it. Like, it is so real, right? And let me just dabble here just a few minutes. A couple of things, like I was thinking this past week, and some of the team has already heard me say this because I sent you guys a video, and I feel like I'm in the light over here. I feel like I'm in the dark over there. I'll just stay here. it's just another technical thing we're sorting out. I communicated this to the team, like never once did I sit in a meeting and talk about the bathrooms. Never. I never had a conversation about it. I never said I have a vision. Hey, I really think it would be awesome if. Like, I never once had any of those moments. And then weeks later, it was Palm Sunday before I ever even saw the bathrooms that you were using. And I walked into the bathroom and I was like, dang, like, it smells good. How do you do that in a high school? I don't know. And there was individual soaps and paper. I'm like, this is marvelous. It's amazing. I never had one of those conversations like our team did that. I still, to this day, we are a week past Easter. I have no clue how the parking flow even goes. I've never seen it. I'm in here. One time, never have I seen it. I don't know how it works, but you did that. Like, you made that happen. And I hear people say, super efficient, super easy, works amazing. I'm not the guy that drives trolleys. I did have an idea, and the idea was trolleys, and God allowed us to have two because I thought we were only going to be able to afford one, and he opened the door, and then we got people that, like, they just make it happen. And so a couple of weeks ago, and man, I don't have time for all this, I really need to get to that, but a couple of weeks ago we had a family that was going to go into All Access, right? And they had a child next door, and so they said, we're going to go check out our kid and we're coming back. Great. 11 minutes, they walked out of here, got on a trolley, transported all the way to the other campus, walked up, checked their kid out of the classroom safely, walked back to a trolley stop, got back on a trolley, traveled back down the street to this campus, got off the trolley, walked back through the lobby, all the way to the end of the hallway where All Access is, 11 minutes. And I'm like, man, our team is rock stinking stars. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so I think about it like we have climbed a mountain. We've done something. Like, if you don't know, I'm going to say as humbly as I can, I'm going to say, like, this is not just what churches do. This is not business as usual. This isn't just how it goes. Like, this is what you do. This is what you made possible. Like, you have been climbing to a summit we've never seen before as a church. And I think that, see, all of a sudden, see? All of a sudden, miracles take place. That's those guys. You think I'm smart enough for that? No, it's them. You guys are amazing. We've summited a new peak that we've never summited before, and here's the reality. It affects you. I want to talk about that. It affects you. Coming off the mountain is something that has an impact on your life. And so I just want to talk about that. Is that okay? We'll talk about it. Because you can't stay on mountaintops forever. I know that we like to think we can, but you can't. Because stuff doesn't live up there, and it's dangerous up there. In fact, all the refreshing things are in valleys. That's where the soil is green and the rivers flow, and that's where the vegetation is. And so the life of the follower of Jesus, though we are going to be called and anointed and gifted by God to go to new summits as followers of Christ Jesus, we are going to still travel in valleys. And when we come off those summits, there's a reality, I think, that we should just kind of understand, and I hope to help us today. Is that okay? And so I want to take you to, no one said yes, but I'm going anyway. I'm going to take you to a pretty popular story in the Bible. We're going to look at this story of a prophet in the Bible named Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. Now, let me set the context. I'm going to tell you the story. And then what we're going to do is we're going to get into the story. And we're going to emphasize three characters, okay? We're going to emphasize Elijah. We're going to emphasize God. And we're going to emphasize you, okay? That's exactly how the day is going to go. And so Elijah is this incredible, gifted, and anointed vessel for the Lord. I mean, like no one else. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. He does miracles and just incredible things, and he hears from the Lord, and he speaks on God's behalf to his people, and it's just an incredible thing. And he's known, like he is well known. He has some status, and I mean, God uses him in like miraculous ways. And even he was so powerful. In fact, even in the New Testament, when you read in the scriptures, like in the Gospels or whatever, when they refer to some of like the heroes of the Bible, like he's one of those names that they'll mention, like the prophet Elijah. They'll just talk about him because he was that incredible. He had that much of an impact. And so as the story goes, there was, just like in today's world, there is this reality that that people didn't always worship God. So there's always this tension, and I think we feel it on a regular basis. There's always this tension of like leaning in and worshiping our Heavenly Father, the one true living God, might I add, or all the other things that can play as gods in our lives. And so, it might not be that you go to a temple or bow down to an idol, but things can certainly become idols in our lives, right? All right, let's all admit that because it's very a real thing. And so what we have, though, in this era is, because religion was such a big deal, what we have in this era is that people would actually go worship at temples and set up idols and bow to them and sacrifice to them and all this stuff. And so in this era, there is this There's this god called Baal, B-A-A-L, or Baal, or how, you know, if you're smarter than me, you probably pronounce it correctly, but Baal, all right? And so what happens is there's this huge following, these people that just worship Baal. And this god, Baal, has all these prophets too, and they could do stuff, right? And I mean, obviously it was influential, or people wouldn't follow. And so Elijah's standing in the defense and on behalf of the Lord, he calls a competition. How many competitors in the room? You like winning. Come on. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, you're trying to win Monopoly. You're trying to win to the next stoplight. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. Let's compete. All right. And so Elijah calls literally this competition. And he's like, all right, I want you to set up an altar, and we're going to put some stuff on these altars, and I'm going to set up an altar, and here's how we're going to know who the real true God is. Whoever sends fire down from heaven and consumes the sacrifices on the altar, that's who God is, right? And so these people, they're worshiping, and they're doing their thing, and of course, nothing's happening because this God isn't real. And then Elijah, and I'm getting to the point here, Elijah, when it's his turn, he calls on God, boom, God sends fire. The whole thing is consumed. Everybody's like, what? Like that, you know what I mean? They're wishing they had TikTok so they could spread this around the world. I mean, like, this was a big deal. And so what happens is all these people are like, all right, I'm convinced. Like, this is the true God. It's unbelievable. And so then Elijah goes another step, and he actually has all 450 prophets of Baal killed. It's crazy. All right. The next day, now I want you to think about this for a second, because Elijah has just had a actual, literal, figurative, all of those, mountaintop experience. I've actually stood on the mountain where this took place. Spectacular. And he has this mountaintop moment where he summits to a level he's never summited to before. And then the king's wife gets word of what took place yesterday, and she says, I'm going to kill you. I mean, that's the short of it. I'm going to make sure you pay for this. I'm going to kill you. And we're going to pick up the story right there. So in 1 Kings chapter 19, the Bible says this, that Elijah, and we're focusing right now on Elijah, on Elijah in the story. Elijah was, say that word with me, he was afraid. And he fled for his life, and he went to Beersheba, a town in Judah. And just pay attention to some things that I've emphasized here. It says that he left his servant there. And then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. And he sat down under a solitary broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. How many of you in this room have ever felt or even said those words? I can't take it anymore. I've got all I can stand. I've had enough. I've had enough. I've had enough. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. And then he laid down and just noticed that he slept. All this is important. Hang on to it. I'm going to unpack it for us. And we're going to jump forward in the story to a little bit later when God begins to communicate to Elijah. He actually begins to speak to him. And he asks him a question, and we're going to look at that question in just a second. But I want you to see Elijah's response. Watch this. He replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. Time out right there, because every single one of the serve team members in this church, that's what you do. You serve God with zeal, enthusiasm, passion, energy. You pour it out. You take what you're good at and you do it. And it makes a difference in people's lives. And so you know exactly what it's like to zealously serve the Lord Almighty. You know exactly what it's like to climb to the highest summit, perhaps, you've ever climbed with others before. You might be feeling in this season, today, maybe it was middle of the week, maybe it was after the second Easter service last Sunday, where you're like, I've had about enough. You might have said things like, it's starting to feel like a job. This is hard. This is difficult. This is taking its toll on me. All right? So he says, I've zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel, watch now, the people of Israel have broken down or broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. And watch what he says. I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Little irony here. Someone's trying to kill him. And then he's like, God, just kill me. I find it slightly ironic, but I guess I'd rather God take me than my enemy. So there's three things that I want to point out about Elijah this morning, because what Elijah experiences, listen to me carefully, is he's experiencing depletion. He's depleted. There's an interesting thing about serving in ministry. Some of you know this. Some of you, this will be brand new information. There's an interesting thing, though, about serving in ministry, because when we serve in ministry, it encompasses all of who we are. All of it. It's physical, it's mental, it's emotional, and it's spiritual. It's a complete outpour. Can I tell you something? I've worked really hard my whole life. I have labored in the sun in the dead of August in Florida for 10, 12-hour days. I have done difficult things. I feel like I've had every job imaginable. There is no tired like a Sunday tired. None. When I pour it out like this, and you guys know because you do it, you might not be the communicator, but you're pouring out your gifting, there's a different fatigue, isn't it? It's unique to any other kind of tired. And it's because it encompasses everything we are to pour out for the cause of Christ. And this is what Elijah is experiencing. He's completely depleted. He has poured out everything he's got. And in Elijah's depletion, he acquires three things. Three things. Number one, he acquires a wrong view of himself. Number two, he acquires a wrong view of others. And number three, he acquires a wrong view of God. And this is what you are in danger of. Acquiring a wrong view of you. I don't even know why I show up. I mean, what difference do I really make? I mean, oh my gosh, I feel like I show up and I don't even know if I'm helpful. And I don't even know if what I'm doing even matters. And you know, and like, man, there's so much more talented people. And I don't fix the problems like that guy does. And I don't lead like she does. And I don't know how to communicate as well as they do. And all of a sudden, when we get depleted, the enemy comes in and starts to get us to buy into a wrong belief about who we are. Elijah said, I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. You might as well kill me. And he was a marked man for the kingdom of God, who was anointed, who carried the Spirit of God, who made an impact for God, who was moving the needle in the kingdom of God. And what he starts to experience in his depletion is a wrong view of who he is in God. The second thing, though, that he does is he starts to acquire a wrong view of others. And this is probably the dangerous one. Because what he starts to do is he starts to say, I'm the only one left. All of those people, they turned their backs on you. They tore down your altars. They killed all the prophets. And it's just me. Now, come on, you don't have to raise your hand. In fact, I would encourage you not to. But I think that if you've served ever in your life, there's points and times where the enemy likes to come in to get into our heads, and if we're not careful, a depleted spirit will actually build a wrong view of others. I'm the only one. Nobody shows up as early as me. Nobody has to serve like I serve. Nobody has to do like I do. Nobody gives like I give. Blah, blah. And all of a sudden, we start buying into a lie that we're the only one when we're standing with a team. And what will happen is, in a depleted state, then bitterness will start to build up in our spirits toward the very people we're climbing with. Because, well, they don't care like I care. They don't serve like I serve. They don't pour it out like I pour it out. I guess I'm the only one that knows how to set up scuba wall. And if you don't know what that means, we'll teach you. I guess I need to unpack the trailer again. And if we're not careful, we'll start to acquire a wrong view of the people around us. The third thing, and this is in no necessarily order, it's just the way I staged it, but the third thing that I noticed is that Elijah had a wrong view of God. Because here is the man of God, marked by God, called by God, used by God. A man who had just experienced a summit moment like never before, proved the case for God in front of 450 leaders in the other kingdom. And at the threat of one person, the Bible says he ran because he was afraid. And he had lost his perspective of how God can protect. Elijah was depleted. Climbing to that summit had taken a toll on him that he was unaware of. But now I want to look at how God moves in the story. Are you ready? We're jumping around a little bit. I kind of told you the story. Now we're jumping in to focus on the characters in the story. So 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 5 through 9. Then he lay down and slept. That's actually where we had just finished moments ago. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, I just want you to watch what happens. An angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." And he looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. It's miraculous. So the man who has seen God move miraculously as a result of his outpour is seeing miraculous outpour come toward him. So he ate and he drank and he lay down again. And then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up, eat some more, for the journey ahead will be too much for you." So he got up and he ate and drank the food that gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God. So he's going to go meet with God. So I want to just pause here and point out that here is Elijah, who has acquired a wrong view of himself, a wrong view of others. I'm going to prove that in a second, and a wrong view of God, in a completely depleted state. It's totally run. I'm out. I hate it. I quit. Kill me. It's too much. I'm the only one. All this stuff. And what I love the most is that God shows up. Here comes God. Here comes the provision of God. Here comes the mercy of God. Here comes the grace of God. Hey, let's get you put back together. Have something to eat. Drink some water. Go back to sleep. Hey, let's wake up. Have some more to eat. Have some more water. All right, sleep. Relax. I love this about God. I love that God doesn't show up and say, "Oh, if I was really God, and if you really trusted me, and if you were faithful," but like, no. He just shows up to put back into his son. And then we'll move on. So we're going to go now to verses 15 through 18. Then the Lord told him. So now God is speaking. I want you to notice what he says. Go back the same way you came. Go back. You're here. You've rested. You've eaten. You've hydrated. Go back. And travel to the wilderness of Damascus, where you will arrive. And I want you to notice what he says. Arrive there and anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Now listen, you don't have to know what any of this means. I just want you to pay attention to these emphasized words. Verse 16, then anoint Jehu, the grandson of Nimshi, which makes me think of kimchi, which is delicious. It's all spicy and it's so good. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of that place. Come on, that don't matter right now. Because he's going to replace you as my prophet. And anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Watch. Yet, I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him. God's like, hey, bud, you're not alone. I know you feel alone. I know you left your servant back in the city and you wanted to get alone, but you're not alone. Hey, I need you to go back the way you came. Go back. Go back. Hey, when you go back, I need you to anoint this person. I need you to anoint this person. I need you to anoint this person. In other words, go do what you do. Go back and do what you do. And here's the things that God does. When God meets him, first thing is God refreshes him. Second thing, God redirects him. The third thing, God reassures him. He gets his replenishment physically. He sleeps, he eats, he drinks. God allows him to put back into himself. And in fact, provides that for him. I got you. I love you. Man, I'm using you and I need you. Here, eat. Have something to drink. Take a couple of naps. Catch up a little bit. He redirects him. You got to go back, man. Twice God asks him the same question. What are you doing here? Like, why are you here? And Elisha keeps responding, I'm the only one. And twice he says that, I'm the only one. I'm the only one left. And everybody else this, because he's got these wrong views of who God is, of who people around him are. He's got this wrong view of who he is, and it's making him bitter and distant and fatigued. He's ready to quit. And God shows up on the scene, and his love, his grace, and his mercy, and he refreshes him. And he redirects him, go back. And then he reassures him, there's 7,000 others. Listen to me, you're not the only one. It's okay. You have teammates. It's not just you. And I know it might feel like it's just you, but I think it's because you just climbed this high summit. And so the father comes along his children and he says, I really care about your well-being. I really care about the kingdom's work. And I really care about your mission. Really, really care. And so now I want to turn and talk about you, because we've seen Elijah and we can find ourselves in Elijah, can't we? I mean, it's easy for me. Can I be really, really honest with you? Like, I'm feeling the effect of climbing to the summit. I am. I know that sometimes some people think that somehow I'm super spiritual, like I'm more spiritual. Can I just clarify once again? I like to do this as frequently as possible. That, like, being a pastor doesn't make me better than anybody. The only thing it does is identify what I'm responsible for. I'm not better. It's just the calling. This is how I serve the kingdom. God called you, perhaps, to a different calling, but it's the same outpour. And so the effect of climbing the summit has affected me. Because of one of our serve team members, on Friday, I had the first full day off that I've had in weeks, because someone else stepped up and said, I got you, man. Let me handle this for you. And I was seriously like, you got no idea how much that means. Like, no idea. This is awesome. I'm going to do something I want, when I want. I'm going to eat something and hydrate and rest. I'm gonna replenish. And so what I want to do now is I want to turn the corner and I want to talk about you. Because in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible tells us that Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Often. And I find this interesting because when Elijah goes off to be alone, we gotta get out of here today because there's a performance in here tonight. So let me turn up the urgency just a little bit. But what he does, where was I at? Because I just interrupted myself. I was talking about Jesus in the wilderness. Thank you. You see what I'm saying? We're better together. And so I find it interesting because when Elijah goes off to get alone, God's like, what are you doing? Why are you here? Remember, Elijah left his servant. Stay here. Come on, how many of you guys ever, you're just like, I just need to be alone. Get away from me. Right? Like, it happens. It's cool. It happens. And so this is what Elijah's experiencing. But then I find, like, well, Jesus did this. Let me say something to you. There is a difference between solitude and isolation. A big difference. And when we go isolate, we are in danger. When we find solitude, it is totally different. And I want to define a little bit of that difference for us this morning, okay? So let me do it like this. You. I want to give you next steps. Can I do that? And I'm going to give you three. So we saw three things in Elijah. We saw three things in the character of God, and I want to give three things to you. And the first one is this. I'm going to hit them really quick, and then I'll talk about them. Number one, listen to me carefully. It's imperative that you meet with God. I cannot overemphasize this. I can't. It's imperative. We'll talk about it in a second. Number two, listen to me carefully. This might not be perfect English, but I want you to do replenishing things. Because there's a difference between being tired and being depleted. If you're tired, you can take a nap. If you're tired, a good night's sleep, you're ready to roll. If you're depleted, it's a different strategy. Depletion is real and happens. And then number three, you ready for it? Keep making a difference. Listen, hang on, all right? Because I know that some of the skeptics in the room are like, there it is. That's the sales pitch. That's how he's getting us. Stay committed. What I'm saying is, like, I'm on your team, and I'm feeling the effect of the summit. Like, I get you. I totally understand. But I have to say this to myself. Like, keep making a difference, homie. Like, don't stop, man. But I can, if I'll do these, I can keep making a difference if I will faithfully meet with God. Listen to me, follower of Jesus. I know that this sounds like simple, well, duh, kind of bottom shelf things, but it's so true. You cannot, and I will say it again, cannot stay filled up to outpour if you're not personally meeting with God yourself. I can't overemphasize the need for prayer. God's word in your life and assembling together with other people. I talked to one of our serve team members just last Sunday in the lobby. I said, how you doing, bro? He's like, man, I don't know. I'm going through it right now. Really? Yeah. I'd love to talk with you sometime. I said, man, I would love to do that. And I said, I'd love to pray with you now. I don't have time to talk now, but I have time to pray now. And then I asked him a very simple question. I said, hey man, like, who's your life group leader? Are you in a group? He's like, no, but I need to be. And I'm like, yeah, you do. And here's why. Cause you're in a fight, bro, but you're all alone. Like, this is why we're here. Like, we are your team. Get around your teammates, because it's terrible to fight alone. I mean, have you ever been jumped? It ain't cool. And Satan will jump you if you get alone. Don't go get isolated, but go find some solitude and meet with God. I've discovered that I need some worship in my life, and I need, personally, everybody's different. I need that from time to time. Like a good, I'm talking about a good session, man, where the music's probably too loud and I'm just worshiping God in my office or in my truck or where, just, man, I'm just letting it feed me, just pouring it out. I need that from time to time. What I've also discovered is I need the word of God put into me every day. And I can tell when it's not daily. It affects me. All of a sudden the level begins to diminish quickly. Man, I need the bread of life, my daily bread, every day. And then prayer, man, just all the stinking time. Constant talking to God. Pastor Tom used to always say, there's never do I pray for more than a minute, and there's never a minute in which I'm not praying. Just the conversation, man, just being connected to the Spirit of God. And so what I want to encourage you, number one, listen to me, is you need to meet with God in a place of solitude. Your place, where is that? Driver's seat of your car, back porch. I don't know. But the next one, I hope helps you. All right? Because I want to encourage you, number two, to do replenishing things. Now, I'm going to read you something, and I want you to find yourself in here, okay? And if you don't find yourself in what I'm about to read, it'll probably spark enough creativity for you to find it. Do replenishing things. Take a day off. Have a movie night with the family. Reorganize that room. Turn wrenches on the project in the garage. Visit your favorite place. Take a long ride on the motorcycle. Cook an elaborate meal for your friends. Have a long conversation with a mentor or special family member. Take a nap. Go surfing. Put the boat in the water and drop a line. Do a craft. Assemble a puzzle. Read a good book. schedule a sitter, and take your spouse out. Hike your favorite trail. Go for a run. Solidify your vacation plans. Plan a weekend getaway. Get a massage. Have your nails done. Eat your favorite meal. Go see a movie. Sleep in. Enjoy the dessert you never give yourself permission to have. Lay out on the beach. Plant flowers in the garden. Sit on the dock and watch the sunset. Scroll or flip through some old photos and reminisce. Paint the shed. Walk through a museum. Ride a roller coaster. Laugh. Rest. Enjoy. What replenishes you? Do it. Go do that. It would amaze you that me, to be replenished, I have to be pretty active. Amazing. I have to, activity replenishes me. I cannot tell you, the other day, I told Lauren, I said, I have worked and worked and worked hours, day after day after day, and all of a sudden, I was at a stopping point in my day, and within 5 minutes, I was bored. I don't even get it. But what I did on that Friday that my friend gave me the opportunity to have, I turned wrenches on a project in my garage all day. Just, that replenishes me. Like that. It fills me back up so that I can go make a difference in someone else's life. Because burnout comes when you don't replenish. Burnout comes when it's all outpour and it's no intake. It's unhealthy and it is not what we want for you. It is not our heart for you as a serve team member. We want you healthy and well and vibrant. We want you to rest. We want you to replenish. We want you to make a difference out of the overflow of what God is doing in you. We don't want to run you to the end of the rope and then when you're done, get a new one. That's not who we are. We care more about you than your serve. You matter. And I just felt like we could learn from Elijah in this summit moment, because some of you may not even have realized that you climbed to a new peak and there's an effect happening and you didn't even know. Well, I'm here to help you. I'm going to finish right here as I close. Not on the screen, not in notes anywhere, just for me to read to you. In Psalm 23, David writes, I'll get it out. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if you take Psalm 23 and you contrast it against the story that we just read, David understands how to replenish. Get in the presence of God. Get by still waters. Restore your soul. Do replenishing things. Our God is not a grinder. Our God is not someone that exploits and abuses. It's not who he is. He's a patient, tender, compassionate, loving father that wants you well, healthy, So when we summit new peaks, let's replenish like Psalm 23. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Land the plane right here. I'm going to pray twice. And in my first prayer, I'm going to just pray for you. Again, I just tried to sort of pull the curtain back and invite you in and talk to you like you're one of the amazing teammates that I get to serve with all the time. I just want to pray for you. So, Father, I just pray. I pray for every person that calls Church on the Rock their home. Thank you, Father, for everything about them and the way, Lord God, that you love them. Father, thank you so much for the incredible serve team. Every one of them does what they do to serve other people. It astounds me. It often overwhelms me. I'm so blessed. I'm so thankful to call this my team. I love being on this team. So God, I just pray that after today's look inside of Scripture, that we would apply, that we would not be hearers of the word only, deceiving ourselves, but rather that we would be doers of your word. And I just pray that we would meet with you in a solitary place where we can actually connect with our loving Heavenly Father. I pray that we would do replenishing things, the things that fill us up, the things that bring life to us, the things that energize us, the things that make us feel rested and restored. I pray that we would discover what those things are and do them. And then, Father, I pray because our cup is full, in fact, because it runs over, we would just keep making a difference in the lives of the people around us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Now, for anybody that might be in here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, man, that was a nice speech and all, but I don't even know Jesus. Well, I would like to introduce you to him right now. I really would. It's very simple. The Bible says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouths that we are saved. I honestly believe that you've probably already been moved by the Spirit enough to make a decision this morning. And so I just want to invite you to that decision. And the way that you would confirm that, yeah, that's me. That's me. This is my moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around, please. Nobody. If that's you and you say, yeah, I need to step into a relationship with Jesus, would you be brave? Would you just raise your hand? I'd like to know who you are. I'm not going to ask you anything else. Just raise your hand. You might be in this room and you say, man, I just need to like reconnect to God. I'm far from God and this is my moment. I need to reconnect. Yeah, okay. All right. All right. You can put those hands down. I'm going to invite you to repeat a prayer after me, and there's nothing special about this prayer. It's just the prayer that we use. If this is taking that next step, you've believed in your heart, this is a confession with your mouth, and this is where salvation takes place. And here's our prayer. I want you to repeat it after me. Come on, churchy, now we do it, everybody. I want you to say, dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.